So we march on in our learning of the Sefer HaChinuch, and what we're going to be doing is that every week we're going to be learning a different mitzvah and to get a certain appreciation of that mitzvah in context in the Chinuch and in the broader spectrum of Jewish thought. So without much further ado, what we decided to do, as opposed to choosing mitzvahs randomly, because there are 613 mitzvahs from which to choose, I thought that would be appropriate and perhaps very interesting to start going through Aseres HaDibros. This is a framework. And Aseres HaDibros contains many different parts of Jewish philosophy and law. And by doing that, we'll get a vast array and also be some sort of a framework to work within. So without much further ado, we start with the beginning. And it's not so clear what the beginning actually is, we'll see in a moment. What the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros really is, and how many mitzvahs there really are. The Sefer HaChinuch tells us the following. He understands the mitzvah Chof Hei, this is in the first of our pages. The 25th mitzvah that he enumerates is mitzvah sa'emuna v'mitzios Hashem Yisbarach. The mitzvah of belief in the existence of God. Okay, it sounds very ethereal. Actually, it's very complex and very interesting. He tells us the following. L'hamin, the mitzvah is to believe, sheyesh le'olam eloika asher himtzi kol nimtza, that to believe that there is the power who brought everything into being, right? He brought everything we see in existence into existence. U'mikoicha v'cheftzai hayakol mashehu, v'shiyahaya v'shiyihiyye la'adead. That it is because of his will and desire that everything came into existence and everything will come into existence. It's axiomatic. V'chi hu hoitzianu me'eretz Mitzrayim v'nosalanu ha'tara. And that he brought us out of Egypt and gave us the Torah. Shenemar b'tzchiras nesinas haTorah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. And now he explains, so Pirushai, as if it said, Ki'ilu Amar, Teidu v'hetaminu sheyesh la'olam Eloika, know that believe that the world has a God. Ki milas Anochi Torah al hamitzius. The word Anochi teaches us or expects a knowledge of reality. V'asher Omar asher otzeisicha, loymar, shelo yifate levavchem, lokachas inyan seischem me'avoyos Mitzrayim, me'abdus Mitzrayim, umakos hamitzrim, derech mikre, that we should not take it by natural causes, everything that we saw occur in the Egyptian experience. Elo de'u, no, rather, she'anochi hu she'otzeis yeschem v'chefetz uv'ashkocha. You should know that I took you out because I decided to, says God. As was promised. Now, interestingly enough, into this paragraph, he has woven two very different strands of philosophy. Just interesting. Interestingly enough. Now, what is the expectation of the Emunah right now to do what? There's two things he's saying. Number one is? To believe what? To believe there is a God, and that God has brought everything into existence. But there's another aspect of it, and that is? Right, he's the one who took us out of Egypt. Now that's a little bit of a different flavor. What we're going to have to see is when we're going to take a step backwards and look into the other Rishonim, we will see that they will have either or. Some of the Rishonim understand that the primary focus of belief in God is trying to understand God in his essence, so to speak, or trying as close as we can approximate to that. Whereas others will focus more on the experiential expressions of God in the world. The Sefer HaChinuch very nimbly over here has put together two very different strands of Jewish philosophy into one. We'll see in just a moment how different it is. This is just to start off the thought process. I want to get through the Chinuch himself, and then we're going to expand a little bit into the other thoughts of the contemporary thoughts to the Chinuch himself. Now he does so. As we've seen, this is the first section of what the Chinuch usually does. Is he defines the mitzvah, he explains what it is, and he tells us the source. The source of this mitzvah is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, meaning the first words of Aseres HaDibros, the first dibur essentially is a mitzvah. That's important. Okay, the first dibur, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is in fact a command. We have to think about that in just a moment. If that's agreed upon by everybody. The second stage of the Sefer HaChinuch is always the Shoresh HaMitzvah. He tries to give us some sort of underpinning, some sort of reason that is palatable to us. So he says the following: Shoresh Mitzvazu Ein Sarach Biur. In this case, I don't need to tell you why we do this. Why? It's pretty foundational. You need to know, you need to believe in God to be able to do the rest of it. A person who doesn't believe in this literally denies Ikar, the essence, right? This is pretty basic. He doesn't have a chelek or a portion with Israel, which is an interesting way of saying it. It sounds like both in this world and the next. So he says, I'm not going to tell you why we do this. But he adds in an interesting paragraph, which he doesn't usually have, is the inyan ha'emuna. So I'm not going to tell you why, but I'm going to tell you what. Okay? Usually he'll tell you why we do things. Here he's going to tell you what exactly are we doing. What is the emuna? I think it's M in this case. I think it's in this case it's M. Yeah, that's it. Meaning, I don't think he's saying that you're if you're to read it the way you're saying it, you're being v'schus am Yisrael means to say you're not sharing in the we'll call it communal merits. I think he's saying v'schus am Yisrael, you don't have a part of with them. It's much more devastating than that. V'inyan ha'amona, who? What does it mean? Sheyikba b'nafshay sheha'aymes kain, that a person establishes in their heart that this is the truth. V'sheiya shar chilov ze b'shum ponim, and there is absolutely no alternatives. V'im yushal olav, and if he is asked, yashiv lekol, he'll respond to everybody, shoyel, to any detractor or questioner, sheze yamin libo, this is what he believes, v'lo yoyde b'chilov ze afilu yamru lahargoy. And he has to believe this even to the point of death. That's a very interesting, that's how far it goes, he says. Shekol ze, machzik v'kovea ha'amonos ha'lev, kishemoitzi adove min ha'koach el ha'poal. Because that is the strongest way of expressing a belief, is when it has to be brought out into reality. It's where the rubber meets the road, in a certain sense. This is the extreme of it, what he's saying, is that when a person is in a position where they have to substantiate that which they say, where they believe in their heart, to the point of perhaps even death, is the strongest expression of what that emunah really means. Right? Doesn't mean to say a person is, we don't hope that everybody is going to have to express it in such a way, but a person needs to be willing to live a life of emunah to the point that if it would be challenged at the point of death, he would be willing to give it up. Right? And that's real emunah. And the point is that it really expresses itself rather than being an ethereal belief. What I mean to say is, you need to actually walk the walk, not just to, well, actually, that's actually not true. He needs to talk about what he believes inside, not just being a Jew at heart. When a person succeeds in developing intellectually, and if a person reaches and it becomes clear as day, he sees it, he hears it, this has become his reality. There is no way he can see reality in another fashion. That's the best way of fulfilling this mitzvah. I just leave this out as a question. Mitzvah min ha-muvchar sounds like it's grade A, but there is a grade B. I'm not sure why he says it that way. Meaning it should be, this is the way. Meaning when he talks about establishing what the emunah is in your heart, it means to say, that is emunah. But he calls it a mitzvah miruchar, suggesting that maybe there might be, if it doesn't make its way to your speech or actions, maybe it's still some form of emunah, but not the, that's what it sounds like.
You have some doubt.
Right, but the problem is that when it comes to truth, there's either yes or no. It's pretty black or white. You know, so that's why it's
Because he realizes that not everybody is willing to die for it. So it doesn't mean that you can't have no emunah at all. There's a middle ground, perhaps.
So and that's why I wonder. When he suggests that this is a mitzvah min ha-muvchar, it sounds like there might be space. He's not wiping the floor clean of a person who isn't at the point where they can put their life on the line for this. But there's still value to it. It's certainly not mitzvah min ha-muvchar.
The chinuch has a general approach, which is that it's actions first and thought second.
Right.
And in this mitzvah, he deviates from his usual parameter,
right,
where it's thought first and action second.
Right.
So I think what he's trying to say is that, again, his whole philosophy of his book is about actions. So that's why I think of mitzvah and emunah, because he'll really tell you, in emunah, you can't start with action. It's kind of silly. If you daven without thought, if you have the whole, this is the one mitzvah you can't do that way. So maybe he has to put it in a different context.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it in that perspective. It should be noted, by the way, although famously the Chinuch does talk about, he talks about a number of places where he talks about that acharei ha'pulas mishachas levavos, right? The Sefer HaChinuch was the founder of behavioral psychology 800 years before it actually came into being, and he talks about how. He talks about how actions, in a certain sense, guide the beliefs. It should be realized that when the Chinuch describes it, it's a person who wants his beliefs to change, mm-hmm. and his actions will thereby guide him there. Because otherwise, you see individuals who do things in their lives, and you can see people who are late fit in all the days of their life, and they don't necessarily see the results. You know what I'm saying? So it should be just clear that even the acharei ha'pulas and mishachas ha'levavos, which the Sefer Chinuch is the night of, in a certain sense, it's a guided action. So this might be almost the basis of it, Mr. Price.
This is mitzvah chof hey.
Yep.
Why isn't it mitzvah aleph? If this isn't the first, the others don't apply.
Excellent. So in fact, the Rambam lifts this as mitzvah aleph, because the Rambam starts off in Sefer Amada, where he talks about the foundational mitzvahs. In terms of a logical framework, yes, this is mitzvah aleph. However, the Sefer HaChinuch is counting based on the Parshiyas HaTorah. So it happens to be that we've met a few mitzvahs beforehand, like Piri Virivya and Bris Milah, and meaning sequentially as the Torah came along, we met those mitzvahs just before. Not because there's no less of a hierarchy, it just happens to be chronologically. Dr. Wegg?
Yeah, I just want to emphasize that where it says, Im Yizkel Alos V'malos HaChachma, and then he says in the next line, Emes Ubaro Riefsher Lios Dover Bil Pizek. He does seem to be making a differentiation between levels of a person's cognizance of what's going on to the point where he not only walks the walk and talks the talk, but he really, really, really believes it.
Okay, that's a very good point. You see, we're going to have to. There is a second level, and we'll actually see in just a second if we have a chance to. When we get to the Ibn Ezra and the Khuzari and their approach to understanding Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you'll see that there are differentiated approaches in terms of what is expected, because God only expects a certain, we'll call it. Can only expect from people that which they're able to give. And not everybody is necessarily going to be a philosopher. Not everybody has the capacity to be able to understand everything. Some people can only understand life with a screwdriver. You know, there's certain people who just are more practically bent, not necessarily intellectual. So the Torah talks to all individuals, so there must be some sort of differentiation here. This Chinuch, as we read last week in the introduction, says that the Rambam has Mishpat HaBechorah. He takes the Rambam as being one of the predominant strands of his from where he draws. So that's very important. We're going to see this. We're going to see the Rambam in just a second and realize what the Rambam actually has a polemic that he is busy expressing. And we're going to understand how the Chinuch adopts, but also differentiates from that. I would like to try to get there. Okay, but there's a lot to think about here. There really is a lot to think about. Let's just close this for a moment over here with the dinim, and then we're going to reflect outwards and we'll expand our thoughts. So we've discussed now, first of all, what the mitzvah is, the shorosh, which he in a certain sense skirts, the inyan ha-mitzvah, very unusual section, and now the dinei ha-mitzvah. Practically, what is expected? Dinei mitzvah zu, kagoyin ma she-mechuyav aleinu la-hamin olav, she-kol yecholes u-kol ha-gdula va-gvura va-tiferes va-kol ha-hoyed va-kol ha-brocha va-kol ha-kiyum boy. We have to believe that everything in the world comes from him. Just an interesting he'ara, he is quoting a pasuk which is usually related to the seven spheros, but he drops off in the middle of the pasuk and he changes the last ending. Is referring to the seven spheros. He quotes the first 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, and then he switches into bracha and kiyum. And just interesting, I don't know why he does that, but the point is that the underlying essence of what he's trying to say is that everything in the world is generated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we don't have the ability to be able to describe his greatness and his goodness. This is so important. His total essence can only be understood by himself. And we have to remove ourselves from any limitation. By the way, just to appreciate what this is, Rabbi David Aaron has a very fascinating way of describing this. Imagine for a moment that let's say you're dreaming, or let's say you're consciously conjuring up a character in your mind, and you create this character, and this character, you make this character do a number of things, and you give them a framework. You give them a framework of existence, and they're walking around in your little imaginary world. Don't just spend too much time on this. And in your framework, this little character is walking around, and they walk from their house to the river, and they get some water from the river. So what happens? What happens over here? Let's say that you grant this character in your mind certain logical abilities. So they're able to think. Can that character ever be able to understand you? Can they ever psych you out? Of course not. Because you're generating them. The moment you stop generating them, they disappear. They can't possibly understand you. They can only understand you in as much as you allow them to understand you. Because you're bringing them into existence. That's what it's like. Humanity does have the ability to be able to understand Hashem, and Hashem gives us certain expectations of understanding Him. But understand the parameters. Understand that Hashem is willing you into existence with certain logical capacities. Says the Sefer HaChinuch.
You're describing schizophrenia. But so. The answer is yes, it could.
No, but just to understand the power of this mashal, in a certain sense, God does give us the expectation to understand Him. And that's the mitzvah of emunah, to understand Him, to appreciate, to know that everything is essentially from Him. But don't for one moment, says Sefer HaChinuch, think that you can really understand Him to the fullest of our ability. Because in the end of the day, He is only understood by Himself. We're a product of Him, and a product can't fully understand the producer. I just want to get a little bit of speed over here, that's right.
Isn't it different, though, the difference between the infinite and the finite? There's no way. I mean, because now we're in the age of robotics,
Correct.
People might dispute this whole thing, but when you just base it, the difference between the finite and the infinite, there's no way that there's a...
Absolutely, for sure. That exactly. There's lots of different ways of describing this. He's saying it even more essentially is that simply a product of a producer cannot simply, it has no way of being able to understand that. But yes, finite, infinite, exactly. This is important because we expect it to believe, but remember the parameters of that belief, says the Sefer HaChinuch. And number two is, he points out in the dinim is, I'm starting from line three, v'lishlom imenu b'kol kol chenu b'kol chisaron. We need to remind ourselves that we can't expect God to have any form of lack. We have to remove us from ourselves any thoughts of what He lacks. We need to understand that God exists, and God is not of bodily function, does not have any body parts. Anybody is subject to lack. He simply doesn't lack. For me, it's an interesting experience. Sometimes, you know, you'll have something in your house which is like, you know, a sentimental piece of furniture or something you have, and inevitably, at a certain point, it'll wear out, it'll break. If it's electronic, it'll break sooner, right? But in the end of the day, when you look around at your belongings, think of one thing that you've had for a good number of years, for a decade, 2 decades. There are not so many things that you can think of, because in the end of the day, everything finite deteriorates. Everything finite deteriorates in this world. Everything in the constraints of this world deteriorates. So therefore, and in a certain sense, that's it's a reminder of what this world's about. It's a reminder of what this world's about. But it says the Sefer HaChinuch, when we think of God, don't attribute anything finite to Him. Because remember, everything finite is in a process of deterioration in Chisaron. There's nothing which is L'ol Me'ad. When they're thinking these days of trying to store plutonium, right? We are geniuses as human kinds, that we are now able to harness radioactive energy and to be able to produce power. Brilliant human beings. The problem is they don't realize that when we started doing this, or we didn't consider fully, is that the half-life of plutonium is 24,000 years. Do you know that no human has ever created anything which has lasted 24,000 years? So how do you store it in a way that that's only its half-life? That means to say it only reaches half its mass in 24,000 years because of radioactive biodegrading. There's another 24,000 years after that. Okay, the first half life obviously is more dangerous. But what do you do? What do you create? Can you create a cement container that you can ascertain will last for 24,000 years? Everything we do is finite. Right? So says the Sefer HaChinuch, that's one of the big challenges we have today, is how do you store the rods from nuclear reactors? What are we going to do that's going to be safe for the coming years? So one of the things that the Sefer HaChinuch says is you can't attribute any physical element to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Simple. Simple. There's nothing because anything finite is limited. And he continues to say, "V'shara dvarim rabim ne'amarim b'inyan." There are many things written on this. Kulam v'varim b'sefer yodei chachma elokus. There are many books dedicated to knowing God. Ashrei azoichim elel. Praiseworthy are those who understand it. Ki oz yakaimu mitzvah zu alburya. Because then they will keep this mitzvah alburya on its clarity. Notice, by the way, here again is the mitzvah min amuvchar aspect of it, meaning the people who can invest themselves in this process will get it to its clarity, meaning there obviously are individuals who know it but not to clarity. And now he finishes off by saying, this is always the last section of the chinuch, is unoheges b'chol makom b'chol zman. This mitzvah pervades time and place. B'scharim and kevos, it is applicable to men and women. V'oiver aleo ein lo chelek b'schusim Yisrael k'mo shamarnu. Missing the boat on this one means to say you're not part of the team. You're not with Am Yisrael. You're not with the nation of Israel. V'zois min ha-mitzvos she'ein lohem zman yodua. There's no specific time in the day or year or month. That a person is expected to do this all their life. Now, it happens to be this is very important because in his introduction, the Sefer HaChinuch starts off in the beginning of his introduction by describing how the different mitzvahs have different categories. So some mitzvahs are dependent on circumstance, right? So for instance, what's an example of a circumstantial mitzvah? Let's say, for instance, tzitzis is an example of a circumstantial mitzvah if you're wearing a four-corner garment. Or, perhaps even more subtly, let's say, shaking a lulav. You only shake a lulav. The chiyuv of shaking a lulav only comes up when you enter Tishrei, and you enter the 15th of Tishrei. Then in that morning, there's a mitzvah midoraisa to shake the lulav. So he describes how different mitzvahs have different time frames, or what he calls sibois, or causes. And then he says at the end, which is essentially quoting the Rambam, that there are shesh mitzvahs, there are six mitzvahs, which are always. At any point in one's life, there's a mitzvah to believe in. And that is mitzvah se'emuna as number one. And he goes on to list all six of them. So this, it's important to realize, this is his reference to it. Okay, this mitzvah, wherever you are, you're at the top of Mount Everest, you're in the middle of December, wherever you are, whenever you are, there's always a mitzvah of emuna, which is important, that we can actually always do this. He calls it in his introduction, he calls it the Sheish Are Miklat. They're the six cities of refuge. It's not just a number game. In a certain sense, it means to say that any place in one's life, one is able to seek refuge in these mitzvahs. One is never naked of mitzvahs, so to speak, because there's always these mitzvahs. And this is number one. Okay. What's worth considering over here is that, once again, the Sefer HaChinuch has told us that where he finds his primary teachers in his book are the Rambam, the Rif, and then he adds in the Ramban as the Chut HaMashulash, right? At the end. But so it pays to go to the Rambam and see what the Rambam was saying, why the Rambam was saying what he's saying, and then appreciate what the Sefer HaChinuch is saying. Okay, so the Rambam in two places talks about this most explicitly. One is in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and Mr. Price, yes, it is mitzvah number one. This is on the third page, because this is the most foundational of mitzvahs, the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. He says the following. After 14 Sharashim and his introduction, the Rambam says the following. I'm going to explain the mitzvahs, the positive commandments. The Rambam divides it up into positive and negative, and he divides it logically. It's not always clear the full logical sequence of his Sefer HaMitzvahs, but certainly number one makes a lot of sense. He says the following. HaMitzvah Rishona Hi, Hatzivu Asher Tzivanu Lahamin Ha'alokus, we are commanded to believe in God, V'ushena Amin Sheyesh Shom Ila V'Sibo, so he says, we have to understand that there is a primary cause, a primary reason for everything that occurs in the world, and that is, we know that from the Pasuk, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's what the Rambam says. Now, usually, the Rambam, that would be sufficient for his Minyan HaMitzvahs. He'd be able to stop there, and he has now described to us what the mitzvah is. But he adds on a very interesting point. The Rambam adds in, "Uvesof gemar makos." At the end of the completion of makos, go amru tariag mitzvos nemru la lemoisha besinai. Micro. So the Gemara asks the question, which I'm sure a number of us have thought about, but it's hard to articulate sometimes, is that why is it specifically 613? Meaning, where did we get the notion that there are 613 mitzvos in the first place? Why is it the magic number? All the monah mitzvos, all of the monah mitzvos, take it as a basic tenet that there are 613, and they question as to what they are. But they start with the principle that there are 613. Where does that come from? Says the Gemara, Micro, Torah tzivol ono Moshe, that the Torah was commanded to us by Moshe. Kaloimar, says the Gemara, minai minyan Torah. The minyan of the word Torah. What does Torah add up to? 611. V'hikshu al zeh v'omru Torah b'gemashu ha'achi havi, shis me'av achad sari havei. So the Gemara says, wait a second, that's not a good calculation. If we just start there, then we'd have 611 mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, V'hoysa tshuva, Anoichi v'lo yihye mipiak v'rashma'um. No! Moshe Rabbeinu only taught us 611 mitzvahs because the first two mitzvahs were taught to us by none other than Hashem. Right? This is the point where B'nai Yisrael couldn't handle it according to one day in the Midrash. And therefore had to say, Hashem, give us the rest. So therefore, that's how we know that it's 613. Hinei, says the Rambam, you see from here, Kvar hisbar lecha ki anoichi Hashem michlal sheish me'ois shloishesrei mitzvah suvetzivoy be'emuna k'moshi bi'arnu. Says the Rambam, you see it is part of the mitzvahs of Hashem. Because why? It's part of the two extras. Why does the Rambam need to bring this? Why does the Rambam need to add on this Gemara Makos? He doesn't, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he does not go on tangents. Just to describe where the Gemara talks about these things. If it's not absolutely unnecessary to the mitzvah itself. Why is he quoting this? He's avoiding something. What's he avoiding? There's a big problem over here. And the Rambam is substantiating it without explaining the question. And that is what Eliot was saying just a moment ago. Is that not everybody agrees with this. Is Anochi Hashem Elokecha a command in the first place? You see, take a look down where the little arrow is on the right. In the Ramban. The Ramban is commenting on the Rambam. And he says the following. V'hanire emidaitoi. And it seems, Shelebal ha-halochos. According to the Baal HaLochos, the Baal HaLochos was the Bahag, who also counted the Sefer HaMitzvos, and to whom the Rambam in many cases is very subtly disagreeing with, he says, She'ein minyan tariag mitzvos, elok zeirosov yisale, she'gozer alenu lasos, omin omano sheloi nase. The Baal HaLochos only counts mitzvos where the Torah tells us, do X, Y, Z, or don't do A, B, C. Aval ha'emuna b'mitziusa yisale shi'adiyah esanu oisa eleinu ba'oisos uv'moisim uv'gilui hashchino le'eneinu hua ikur v'ashroi shemimenu gnoldu ha'emitzois lo yimna b'cheshbonam. Says the Baal HaLochos, this is an axiom. This is not a rule. This is not a particular mitzvah. This is the context of all mitzvahs. You have to believe in order to be able to do the rest of them. So the Baal HaLochos doesn't count emunah as it. It's the necessary prerequisite.
It's part of the service of Hebrews. So how can you deny it?
Great. So first of all, just to appreciate. Now we can understand what the Rambam is doing. The Rambam over here in the second half of this Minyan HaMitzvah is quoting the Gemara Makos. Why? Because the Gemara Makos seems to say very expressly that Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yiyeh Lecha, the first two of our Seres Dibros, are mitzvahs. That's how we get up to 613. Says the Rambam, that's it. That's the proof in the pudding against the Bahag. The Gemara seems to relate to the mitzvah of Emunah as a particular mitzvah. The Bahag makes a lot of sense, by the way. The Bahag makes a lot of sense when he says this. And in fact, it goes on to say, if you'll just take a look at the top of the next column, where the little arrow is, third line down in the Ramban, he says, V'oid, ki ein efshar ein hefresh ben adibur hazeh uben ma she'amar yisporach betzidok ha-mitzvos ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hoceiti etchem eretz Mitzrayim. Says the Bahag, and the Ramban substantiating the Bahag, says, so when you read the rest of the Torah, do you know how many times it says Anochi Hashem Elokeichem? After so many mitzvos, specifically in Parshas Kedoshim, he is isolating, it says that you should do such and such a mitzvah because I am your God. You're going to say there's a mitzvah every time there? No. That is the reason, that is the context of doing those mitzvahs. You understand? So when it says Anochi Hashem Elokecha, according to the Bahag, it is the reason why the rest of what is to follow is reasonable or expected because I'm your God. Like those mitzvahs in Kedoshim, you're doing them because I'm your God. That's what the Bahag says.
But that doesn't explain the second mitzvah. Okay. You shouldn't have any other gods.
Okay.
That could be...
Excellent. So the problem with the Bahag is the following. The problem with the Bahag is, so how does he relate to the fact that we have the Aseres HaDibros? How does it relate to this Gemara Makos, which seems to include two mitzvahs in Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yiyeh Lecha? Right? The Gemara seems to very explicitly understand that we get to 611 because of those two Dibros. So the Baha'i says something very fascinating. And this is actually at the lower end of this column over here. And he says the following. It's pretty much in the middle of the column where there's a little bit of a paragraph break in the middle of a line. Okay, do you see where the left column of the Ramban over here, where it is, there is a little bit of a break in the middle of the line, followed by the word uladas. Thank you. So uladas azu, ma she'omru b'tshuva sasheila toira sheish me'ois ve'echad asar havi anoichi v'lo yelacha mipi agvura shma'um. That Gemara in Makos, which seems to include two extra mitzvahs in the first dibros, loimar sheyesh b'dibor lo yelacha shtei mitzvahs. Really, there are two mitzvahs in Dibur number 2, says the Bahag. What are they? B'tzlamim, sorry. Lo yeh lecha v'lo yisa'as lecha. Inyan echad. Number one is not to create or to own any form of idol worship. And number two, v'ameniyah ba'avoyda zorah lo yisishtachav alohem v'lo yisavdeim mitzvah acheres. And there's another mitzvah, not to serve them. So according to the Baha'i's framework, the first of the Dibros isn't a mitzvah. The first of the Dibros essentially is the foundation for everything else. And because of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which should be the reason why you're doing the rest of these, now let me give you a few things to do, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number one, don't own or create Avodah Zarah. And number two, don't serve them, because they're actually two different things. So when the Gemara Makos is saying, where do we get the 613, 611 Moshe Rabbeinu gave to us, where's the extra two? What I found in the second of the two Dibros. It isn't the easiest read in the Gemara, according to the Bahag, but it's certainly there. And this is very, very fascinating, because if you actually go into the Sefer HaChinuch himself, and you start paging through, how many mitzvahs would you expect to be in the Aseres HaDibros? You would say, well, it seems pretty self-evident, right? Aseres HaDibros, so there should be 10 mitzvahs. They're not. He has about almost, I think, 14 or 15 mitzvahs in the Aseres HaDibros. We're going to see later on, as we get into Sefer HaChinuch, that there are subsections of mitzvahs. One example, Shabbos. Shamar and Zachar. Those are two separate mitzvahs. Kiddush Shabbos Vidvarim, bringing in Shabbos explicitly with one's mouth, and preventing oneself from doing the prohibited activities are two separate mitzvahs found in one dibur. So it happens to be that this is a bit of a paradigm shift which we all need to have. Because when we're thinking, and when we're educated about the Aseres HaDibros, we think 10 of the most important mitzvahs. No! A dibur is not a command. That's a little bit of a fallacy in terms of translation over here. We lose it a little bit. Right, we lost in translation there. The Aseres HaDibros are 10 Dibros, 10 sayings that Hashem said, which are very important. It happens to be there are a number of mitzvahs included in them, but according to the Bahag, not only are they mitzvahs, they're actually belief systems incorporated into the Aseres HaDibros. And that's one Dibur, whereas another Dibur might have two mitzvahs within it. This is an important introduction into understanding how the Aseres HaDibros work, which now makes the question even more challenging. So why specifically these 10 Dibros? It's not about specifically mitzvahs necessarily, or 10 separate mitzvahs, but why are the Dibros separated as they are, and why these specific ones? That's something that should be in the back of our minds. Being as we are well out of time, unfortunately, I'd like to just pique the interest, your interest in the with the following, and this will be really our step into understanding this in the bigger context next week, and that is the following: the Rambam, the way the Rambam is set up. Is that he writes, if you look at any of the sets of the Rambam, the beautiful Frankel, which has 15 volumes, there are 14 volumes which he spends, which is called his Yad HaChazaka. Yad is the gematria of 14. If you go to the Rambam's kever today in Tveria, you will walk up, and there are 12 marble columns, through 14 marble columns through which water flows, and each of them has a label of one of his books engraved on. It's beautiful as you walk up to the kever of the Rambam. He divided his sefer, he divided all mitzvahs, whether applicable now or not applicable now, into 14 sections. That's what he does. His introduction to that, in a certain sense, is his Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he counts all the mitzvahs, and he enumerates them in Mitzvahs Aseh and Mitzvahs Lo Aseh. And then when you come to each book, he'll say at the beginning, which of those mitzvahs are going to be included in that specific book. So it often pays, when learning the Rambam, not just to learn the Halacha in the Rambam, but to see where he enumerates the mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and compare how he actually... So we're in his almost his table of contents says it, and how he says it actually when explaining it. So we just read the table of contents, so to speak, his Sefer HaMitzvahs to the Yad. Let's just read for 1 second the way the Rambam enumerates it in the Yad at the very beginning of his halachic work, and so notice the difference. And this will be the jumping board for future. He says the following. This is on the next page. Sefer HaMada. This is the first of the books. You can see it's called Sefer HaRishon, the first of his 14 books. Sefer HaMada. And by the way, you can see over here. Under the Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah, he says, this is where he references his Sefer HaMitzvahs. He says, Yesh b'chlolon eser mitzvahs, shesh mitzvahs aseh v'arba mitzvahs lo aseh. Included in this book last 10 commandments, and he lists them. Leida sheyesh, right, he's going to give us all the 10 relating back to his Sefer HaMitzvahs. And then he says the following. He says at the very first halacha, Yesoda Yesodos ba'amura chachmos, the foundation of all belief and knowledge is Leida Shiesham Motsoi Rishon Vumamtsi Kola Nimsa, to know that there is a first being who brought into existence everything else which is in existence. Vukola Nimsoim in Ashamaim Vaoretz Uma Shabanaim, and everything which is created in the celestial or earth or the earthly realms, Lo Nimsu Elame Amita Simotsoim. And everything is found because of the truth of his existence. How does this differ from Sefer HaMitzvos? How does this differ from the way he recorded this mitzvah?
It's a foundation.
Well, he does emphasize it's more foundational, but there's one very specific word that is very important that he changes.
Mitzvah.
What? Later. Did you notice that in the Sefer HaMitzvos, two pages back, the mitzvah was La'amin, to believe. The mitzvah, as he records, the same mitzvah, he's going to say in the three halachos time, that is from Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is Leda, to know. Now, usually we understand those as different, those are in different parts. We understand the La'amin to be more of an experiential, more of a emotional. Perhaps that's a wrong translation. Whereas Leda is very much an intellectual pursuit. And the question is why does the Rambam change from the Sefer HaMitzvos talking about, in a certain sense, emuna, in the more emotional sense, to Leda, which is more of an intellectual sense? And he goes on with the very intellectual projectile over here through the Sefer HaMitzvah, through the halachas, about how to achieve this in an intellectual fashion. And this will be the jumping board to getting a little further. Because as we noticed in the Sefer HaMitzvah, in the Sefer HaChinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch talks both about intellectual understanding, but he also talks about experiential understanding as well, because he talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim isn't about sitting there philosophically working out proofs. It's about what we know because our parents experienced. That's a very different type of belief. And the Sefer HaChinuch merges both of those. The Rambam seems to perhaps walk on both sides of that spectrum, maybe, at this point in time. And what we're going to have to do is take a step backwards and see the Khuzari and the Ibn Ezra to get a sense of how this is actually a very complex topic in terms of who's expected to do what and what is the actually primary way of believing in Hashem and how therefore we achieve it. So that's the mission for next time. Looking very much forward to joining again.